So how are those New Year's resolutions going? If one of them was to climb on board the very crowded Less Sugar in 2020 train, you were probably horrified to find out how insidiously sugar and its evil twin fructose have been added to our food. There's a teaspoon of sugar in every tablespoon of ketchup. Our next guest says our food has been adulterated, poisoned, and he's not kidding. He says sugar plays a central role in health problems, including an epidemic of obesity in infants as young as 6 months, that it's as dangerous as smoking or abusive alcohol. Oh, and if you're doing the New York Times 7-day sugar challenge, they say even grapes and bananas have too much sugar. Dr. Robert Lustig is professor of pediatric endocrinology at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Rob, people know sugar isn't a health food. Why is it so dangerous?
Well, so people think that sugar is just empty calories. And they think, well, you get some discretionary calories during the day, so why can't they be sugar? Well, if sugar were just calories, then they'd be right, except they're wrong, because different calories in foods are burned and absorbed, digested, metabolized in different ways and do different things and contribute to different diseases.
So I just want to underscore what you said, because the rule has always been calories in, calories out. You just got to burn it off somewhere in the middle. And you are saying, again, that is not true. What do sugar calories do?
Right. So why are sugar calories so different? Well, they're different for three reasons. The first is when sugar is absorbed, it goes to the liver and the liver gets overwhelmed because it has a limited capacity to metabolize it, just like it has a limited capacity to metabolize alcohol, just like it has a limited capacity to metabolize many of the toxins that we take in, you know, because your liver is the detoxification center of your body. It has a limited capacity for being able to deal with sugar. When you overwhelm it, the liver has no choice but to take the excess and turn it into liver fat. And that liver fat is the driver of virtually every chronic disease that we are now currently suffering from that's gone up in time. So type 2 diabetes, lipid problems, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, cancer, dementia, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, polycystic ovarian disease, all being driven by liver fat. And the liver fat is because of the sugar. And so you can basically have alcoholic fatty liver disease if you're over 21, or you can have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and it doesn't make a difference because they are identical. And so we have done several liver transplants in soda drinkers, you know, teenage soda drinkers.
Transplants. And talk about the insidiousness of sodas. And I gotta, you know, this is, I'm one of those people. I pride myself, I don't drink coffee, but I picked up a little bit of a soda habit. And it's just appalling to think of how.
Well, it's not a habit.
It's an addiction.
It's not a habit. It's an addiction. Yeah. And, you know, anybody who says, oh, you know, I have this horrible sweet tooth, that's sugar addiction.
Yeah.
So sugar is addictive in the same way as alcohol, in the same way as nicotine, cocaine, amphetamine, heroin, shopping, gambling, social media, internet pornography. All of these stimulate the same area of the brain called the reward center, the nucleus accumbens. Yeah. Anything that causes the release of dopamine is in the extreme addictive.
Well, and you call this the Coca-Cola conspiracy because you say it's not by accident. It's not just that there's a ton of caffeine added to sodas that makes you then pee, pardon my inelegance. They also add salt. So the combination makes you thirstier, so you drink more.
Exactly. So they know what they're doing. Do you have to put salt in Coke? There used to be a cola called Royal Crown Cola. It didn't have any salt in it. I mean, Coca-Cola knocked them out of the park. But the fact is, you don't have to put salt in soda. So this is by design.
Well, and then fructose was sold to us as more natural sugar. This is in you know, corn and beets and such. But as you point out, one of the things they do in fructose, which is added to just about everything, is strip the fiber out of it so that it has a longer shelf life. So it has absolutely none of that benefit. And why is fructose as bad as sugar?
So first of all, sugar is two molecules bound together, glucose and fructose. Now, glucose is not all that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad. However, fructose, because it is metabolized into that liver fat in the liver, that's where the problem comes in. In addition, fructose starts the aging reaction. It causes what we call caramelization. It's the reason for wrinkles. It's the reason for cataracts. This aging reaction, this browning reaction, and fructose does it seven times faster than glucose. And now we have learned through work done at Joslin Diabetes Center that fructose specifically inhibits a mitochondrial enzyme that causes those mitochondria to burn less well, which probably is one of the reasons for the persistent weight gain and also chronic disease. And glucose doesn't do that. So there are some very specific differences between these two molecules. However, when you consume any form of sugar, whether it's sucrose, which is table sugar, cane sugar, beet sugar, the stuff you put in your coffee, or high fructose corn syrup, or honey, or maple syrup, or agave, doesn't matter, you are getting one of each molecule. And so sugar is a problem because of the fructose molecule.
Look, we have just a couple minutes left. I urge people to watch your lecture, but you draw a direct line from the state we're in today to the health industry and the government. In 1982, we were told cut out fats, and so everybody went to carbs. And of course, carbs are filled with all these sugars that you're talking about. And by the way, obesity went up when we cut out fats and went to carbs. You go back to Nixon in the early 1970s, who there was a political crisis. Food was too expensive. He directed his agriculture department to cheapen it, which they did by adding a lot of these, you know, corn syrup products. You call fructose, you call fructose a poison. And one would ask, well, why wouldn't our own FDA regulate a poison? Well, one of our biggest exports is our food. Of course, the food industry pushes back on your claims and the claims of others, but people know what they can see with their own eyes. They don't feel well. They see their children are overweight. A lot of people now are doing things like the New York Times 7-day sugar challenge, trying to cut back. The first day, you know, no sugar at breakfast. How would you help people do this, given that it is so addictive and it is so everywhere?
Right. So I will be very honest with you. We will not solve this problem until the food industry solves it for us. And they have no interest in doing so because this is their gravy train. This is their juggernaut. This is how they went from 1% gross profit margin to 5% gross profit margin in the span of 3 decades. This is their livelihood. And they are not going to do anything they don't have to do. And unfortunately, the government's in bed with them because they're making $56 billion a year off export tariffs off our food. So the only way we are going to fix this problem is when there are more votes than dollars. And right now, we're just beginning to, you know, get some traction in the general public for this issue of food. Mm-hmm. Having said that, people need to understand what the problem is. They have to understand the difference between processed food and real food. And the difference is processed food is high sugar, low fiber. High sugar for palatability, low fiber for shelf life. Real food is low sugar, high fiber. Real food works. Processed food doesn't. Processed food kills because of these issues. And we could, repeat, could fix this tomorrow if we wanted to. The problem is because sugar is addictive, people don't want to.
One of the saddest things in your lecture is you talk about children who have these serious health issues now that are traced to the juices that they're given. And these are low-income children, and the juices come to them through the government WIC program.
Exactly right.
It's got to be tough for you to see those children.
Impossible. It breaks your heart. You know, the fact of the matter is these kids are victims, and we know who the perpetrators are. And the fact is, the parents don't understand. And so it promulgates itself. The fact is, what mothers eat during pregnancy ultimately impact on the number of fat cells children are born with, and those fat cells want to get filled. So these kids didn't have a chance even before they were born, never mind afterwards. I mean, how do you blame a six-month-old for obesity? The fact of the matter is, we have a problem and we have to address it, and no one is.
Provocative. We're going to link people to your lecture, to the 7-day sugar challenge, if people want to try it, and to other writing at hereandnow.org. Dr. Robert Lustig, professor of pediatric endocrinology at the University of California, San Francisco. Rob, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And by the way, Dr. Lustig is cataloging all the different names that added sugar goes by, you know, to hide it. He says it's listed up to 300. He wants you to add to it. It's the Sugar Project